And to be honest with you, I don't know the inner working. I don't think they pay Sac State. I think they provide gear. So, like, yeah, if you're not paying me, like, no. As the head coach, maybe the kids got to wear it or the students got to wear it. But, no.
You know what the funny thing about a lot of that stuff is, too, is, like, the shoe company will give the head coach the allotment. But, like, here's a $50,000 allotment. It's up to the coach to give it to the other coaches. It's not
a direct line.
Yeah, it's not like, all right, you get 50, yeah, and then you know, my assistants get 10. It's like, no, I get 50 and then determine how to disperse it amongst my staff.
Be like, Coach K, you got any more of that allotment?
Mm-hmm. When you're a head coach at a major college, you really are like the CEO. You run everything. From your staff, you run every little microscopic thing about that program. You are the final voice every time.
What does the athletic director do?
Probably get on that person's nerves. Yeah, get on that person's nerves. Certainly not here at Sac State.
Nah, I was about to say, shout out to all the ADs out there, especially my man.
Mark Orr is our guy.
That's my dog.
But your ADs, you have to work in conjunction with your athletic director. Like, you guys have to be in sync. And if y'all got issues, man, that's a tough look.
And the athletic director is helping every head coach on the
with every aspect of everything. And like Coach Marion's got people that are dedicated to him. Mike's got people dedicated to him. But over all of that, there's Mark right there. Mm-hmm. You know? There's Mark.
As well as the soccer coach and the softball coach and track and all that other stuff.
I'm going to hit up Trista real quick, make sure she's with us today. Again, I think she's in Connecticut. She's got quite a few big things jumping off, so we'll see if she's able to jump on the stream. We were looking at Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady numbers, and this is absolutely going to be the Tom Brady. This is going to be the Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation, the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes conversation. Because Patrick Mahomes, you just see, man, look at what he's doing right now. Look at, God, this is crazy. And then you just flip tabs and go look at Tom Brady, and it's like, Jesus Christ. This doesn't make any sense. Like, really what he did for this long makes no sense. Man threw for 43 touchdowns at the age of 44.
That's crazy.
He threw for 40 touchdowns at the age of 43.
Man. Beat Patrick twice, too.
Beat him twice.
And, I mean, he did one of the questions or concerns was, can he do it outside of the system? Mm-hmm. He went to a whole nother franchise.
Yeah, that's not the question anymore. The question is, can the other guy do it?
They didn't flip that.
Can the other guy do it? Front office sports, we were talking about Caitlin Clark a second ago. Front office sports, they think a WNBA lockout is very likely in the coming months. They have 60 days. The Players Association and the Players Union have 60 days, or excuse me, the Players Association and the league have 60 days to ratify the CBA. And indications are right now, 60 days isn't a ton of time for something like this, especially with the season happening. Like, it's like we're approaching the playoffs, but the season is absolutely still happening right now. That's not a lot of time. And I could be wrong, but I think this would be a disaster.
I'm with you.
I think this would be absolutely catastrophic for the league.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Much like how I felt about when we talked about Major League Baseball, I feel like WNBA is in the same boat. They're at a very, very specific time in their growth as a league. I just saw the article the other day about how they've already broken their attendance record. There was, at the time when I seen it, there was like a month left in the season. No Caitlin for much of this season, but they were still able to break that attendance record. They're on the rise as an entity in this country. And to go away for some time, a labor dispute, that is tough. Now, let me ask you, if you were one of the players, say Sabali or something like that, she's been very outspoken about the schedule, the pay, all this other stuff. I think she's at least one of the shot callers on the WNBA Players Association. Would you potentially fold on a lot of the things that you want just because you know the ramifications that a strike might have?
I don't know that they know the ramifications. Like, I don't know if they feel that this could be catastrophic. I don't know that they feel the way that we do. And they see the attendance. They see the numbers that the league is bringing in. Mm-hmm. And, or, well, they see the soft numbers, mm-hmm. right? They don't truly know what the league, but, like, they show up arena after arena and go, like, yo, it's never been like this before. Like, yeah. This is brand new. You just signed a television deal that was reported on, like, all over every single news outlet. We have money coming in. Now you've got reporters doing investigations going, wait a minute, what we see, and even what we see in reports about television deals, that doesn't match what people like Adam Silver are saying. That doesn't match what people in the league are saying. So how can these two things be true? And the other difficult part for that Players Association is, they're not only fighting for themselves, they're fighting for the net. Like if this thing continues to grow, they're fighting for them. Mm-hmm. And the next crop of players, the Juju's coming in and everybody after Juju who we're not talking about yet, they're fighting for that group of players.
Yeah.
And so it's why it's getting like we're entering again, you know, 60 days to ratify this CBA. We're kind of entering territory where be really careful about what you believe. Because there was a report that I think the league offered to quadruple their income or whatever it was, the salaries and five times the salaries. It's like, yeah, they want that out there for a reason. And the reason is it's going to be really easy to get people like Stephen A to get like talking heads to disparage these players saying, oh, they're not there yet where they should be earning, you know, multiples of millions of dollars. Like, that's not what the league generates. Well, my guess is none of those people, because I don't think we do, have a true idea of what the league generates.
Right.
We've started to hear more about which teams are the most profitable, but there used to be no teams profitable. Now it's starting to sound like most of them are. Again, once you put all of this together, it doesn't match with some of the narratives that come out from the people closely associated with the league or the NBA. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure that the players have potential catastrophe in their minds.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a tightrope, because much like I talk about with baseball, this deal, depending on the length of the deal, this is laying the groundwork for the young women who are 5, 6, 7 years behind you that are still in high school. So you want to make sure they're not getting a raw deal. You want to make sure they're not getting the same type of deal that you were in or anything close to it. But at the same time, what does the WNBA look like? I don't think it's going to go off the face of the earth or nothing, but what does the money that these teams are able to make and these players are able to make, what does that look like 5, 6, 7 years down the road if you took a year off? You were gone for a year.
Yeah. A strike has never worked out for anyone.
Oh, and baseball was America's pastime. It took them, even with the steroid era, it took them 20, 30 years to get to this point where it's like, yo, baseball is popping. It's thriving. It's setting attendance records. Everything's, it took them a long time. And that was baseball. Not WNBA. So I might lean towards making sure there's no lockout.
Mm-hmm.
I might lean mm-hmm. towards that. I know it might be a deal that maybe isn't the best for me and the players, and it's not fair maybe,
mm-hmm.
but I think I can handle that better with endorsements and all this other stuff that are starting to come around for women athletes, as opposed to just not being there.
So that's where the Connecticut Sun sale thing comes into like the equation. The Connecticut Sun, they were offered like, what was it, $350 million, $75 million, something like that, by the guy from Boston, but the guy from the Celtics, and he was going to move the team to Boston and all of this stuff. Mm. Then they had to work quickly. No. Didn't say we were going to do that. We're just, you know, look, we want to do what's best for the franchise, blah, 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 all these different things. Because as the NBA, WNBA was quick to point out, you don't have the authority to just move the franchise. Like there's a board of directors that determines that stuff.
Yeah.
Then the league got really messy and was like, well, Boston hasn't even submitted for an expansion franchise. Like, why would we allow you to move to Boston when we have a list of cities, the likes of Cleveland, and that's not a shot at Cleveland. It's a shot at the Cleveland Rockers, mm-hmm. which, much like the Portland Fire, were a 2 or 3 year fail. Houston, and I mean a handful of other franchises. I think when Toronto was awarded theirs, or maybe it was Portland that was awarded theirs, they said, yeah, there's, you know, it was like, you know, 8 finalists or so. They had these tremendous proposals. That's where we learned Houston was one of them. That's when we found out, wait, Houston made a proposal and didn't get it? Like, how?
It's crazy to me.
And it's the Rockets. Like, it's Fertitta. Like, it's right there. Yeah. And now they're saying, and this is where, if I'm a player, I'm watching this very closely. Because now they're saying the league will purchase the franchise for, I think the number was $250 million, not charge a relocation fee, then sell it to one of their preferred destinations.
Once they get to Boston?
Which, no, the league would buy it. It would be the league's team to sell. And they would sell it to one of their preferred destinations, mm-hmm. which would, it sounded like Cleveland was originally at the top of the list, which I believe is a Dan Gilbert led group, mm-hmm. and they made a bid for the Sun, but they lowballed the bid. And I don't know if that frustrated the league or not, but the league went back to Houston, and I think it was The Athletic who was the first to report, if the league winds up acquiring the Sun, they're likely going to wind up back in Houston.
Mm.
But if I'm a player, I'm watching all of this like, so we had a franchise that was going to sell. It was going to be the richest sale in the history of this league. And you said no. Like, you can just willingly pass on that extra $100 million that was offered.
Like, it's nothing to you.
Yeah. But we're asking for this amount of money, and you're saying we don't have it. We're asking for charters for everyone, including the cheap-ass Chicago Sky. And you're saying, nah, we don't have it. We're asking for a minimum of 4-star hotel accommodations. Minimum 4-star hotel accommodations, just like the NBA has. Organizations we could form partnerships with.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all are like, nah, we can't do that. But you turned your nose up at $100 million? And a relocation fee? I've got questions. We'll come back. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Until KC is done talking boxing.
Oh, no, Marquez.
Sometimes you walk into conversations you don't want anything to do with.
You know, Juan Manuel Marquez, just on the up and up, completely on the up and up for that fourth fight with Pacquiao. Yeah, he was only strong because, once again, he was drinking his own urine. That's the only reason why.
And that was the
nothing
part
to see
I
here.
On.
Nothing yeah. to see here. All right, man.
Okay. Well, thoughts and prayers. I don't know. Great.
That was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. One of the greatest moments. Did you watch that?
What was the moment?
That's
again?
When Pacquiao got knocked out.
Face down.
Mm-hmm. He not getting up, Jim.
I saw that part. I saw the highlight. I've never seen the fight.
Yeah, that was an all-time moment, man. That was an all-time.
Was it a moment or a fight?
The fight was fantastic.
It was.
The fight was fantastic. I think they had like three knockdowns mm-hmm. in six rounds, and then obviously that last one.
I remember that meme went crazy. Pacquiao was dead everywhere. Literally everywhere.
Simba trying to
wake
him
up. That was my favorite one. I'll say that right now. Yeah, where he's laid out. Simba's like, get up.
That's terrible. You know who Simba did wake up, though? Your Las Vegas Aces have won 11 in a row.
You know, I mean, we doing what we do. It was tough for me last night, you know, because I like both of those teams. I'm a fan of one. I'm a supporter of another. But the Aces had to get that win. They're handling business. Asia took the night off a little bit. She didn't go crazy last night. But business handled. Business handled. We're getting ready for these playoffs, baby. They counted us out.
Why are you a fan of this, a supporter of the Sky?
I like my girl Angel.
Well, can't you like Angel without and liking like, the Sky?
I like Cardoso, too.
Okay.
That's my girl, too.
Oh, that is your girl, because she went where? No, it's fine. Don't even, whatever. Let it go. It's whatever. It's whatever. 11, suddenly the Aces, who just look dead, are entering the final, I mean, how many games are left? Like, what? Two, and they've got an opportunity tonight. How many games do we got? It's Aces versus Dream tonight. Mm. The two spot.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, sorry. You're right. Sorry. The Aces versus Dream tomorrow with a chance. Like, that's the two seed.
Yeah.
That's the two seed right there.
I need that. I need that win. The Dream been they weren't on my radar to start the season, but they've been pretty good all year long.
They had a bad loss a week ago or so, a little less than a week ago to the Seattle.
Mm.
Seattle had lost like six in a row or something like that, and they came in there and beat them. The game stands out because I remember Trista saying there was a 2.5 point spread on that game. Like, why? How does be in the game? I think the game was in it Vancouver?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was somewhere in Canada. I think it was Vancouver. And yeah, Dream got caught. It was like, oh man. Aces hadn't made like they were at like 5-6 in a row at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But man, now that loss just looks even worse.
Man, and the Aces, to be fair. This is maybe not winning 12 in a row, but this is about what people expected going into the season. You get Jewel Lloyd. Yeah, you lose Kelsey Plum, but it just seemed like this might be a better fit. A healthier Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young doing her thing, and obviously you got Asia. And you kind of expected this from them from the start. And when they started off the way, they couldn't buy a win at one point in this season. And now they're playing at that level that people expected, and they're playing that way at the right time. They're also seem to be catching a situation where I don't know what's going on with the Liberty and if they're going to be ready in time for the playoffs.
Stewie just came back.
Okay, because I saw they were both out on, what was that, Saturday?
I think she came. Yeah. Well, what day is today?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. So I think she came back either Sunday or I don't think it was last night. I think it was Sunday night.
Okay.
The Aces have 5 games left in the season. The Dream have 7. As we mentioned, one of those games is against each other. That's on Wednesday night. But the Aces might damn near have to run the table to get this done. But like the big guns are coming back. Like Nafisi's back,
mm-hmm.
Stewie's back, and well, the Aces are back.
Yes, indeed.
The Aces are back. I don't know if Caitlin's going to be back. I don't know that she needs to.
They're in a battle with the Valkyries.
Well, both
and the Sparks.
The Sparks, yeah, that's the other one.
Final two spots.
Yeah, I mean the Storm are lingering around there as well. The Valkyries making the playoffs is pretty interesting.
Mm.
If they wind up doing it, it's pretty interesting. When they set this roster, I had no clue who any of those women were.
Yeah.
None. They cut every great. I'll watch.
Didn't they cut their rookie?
They did. They cut everybody.
Well, here they are.
Every player on their team, they cut every young player, we should say. Every player on their team was like 28 years old. All right. This is definitely a different approach for a expansion franchise. Yeah.
But
here they are.
They've already clinched the most wins for an expansion franchise in a season. They're 19.
Oh, that makes
right
sense.
Now.
I mean, you think back to some of them franchises in the past. Good God almighty. Brutal, brutal, brutal.
Good for the Vols.
So the W is picking up.
They don't want to see my Aces, though. You already know what time it is if they play my Aces.
Absolutely. If I was any team in the league, I wouldn't want to see
Minnesota
the Las Vegas Aces right now.
Minnesota's still the favorite.
I'll be honest. I would not. If I'm Minnesota, I don't want to see the Aces right now. I mean, I think Minnesota the best team in the league. They have been. It's not close. They've been on a mission. I haven't seen it. I don't think I've seen anything like what the Aces are doing right now in the W, period. With the way Asia's playing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Asia's just going crazy. Like I said, she was pretty quiet last night, but.
Your Giants were pretty quiet last night because they were off.
Yeah, you know, after their win, their series victory over the best team in baseball. How'd that happen?
Well, go ahead and tell everybody what I already know.
What?
How you feel about your Giants?
I love my Giants. You know what I'm saying? I love them.
God, that was the exact same cadence.
I love Jerry Jones.
The exact same cadence.
I love my Giants. You know. Why do they keep doing this? I don't even.
Hey, go ahead.
I don't even blame the Giants. I blame Rob Manfred. He's to blame for everything, right? But he brings up this extra wild card situation, and the Giants currently are 7 games back of the last wild card spot, right?
So
they're not close.
It simultaneously feels like the season is almost over, and there's a million games left.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's exactly what's going on. Now, if this was a team that you could trust to win games that they should, the remaining schedule would have you think like, maybe they can make a run. They got, I think, 6 games left with the Rockies, one of the worst teams we've ever seen.
What?
They've got 6 with the Dodgers.
Oh, is it 6? I thought it was 7.
Mm. Oh, they do have 7 with the Dodgers, my bad.
It's a 3 and a 4, right?
Yeah.
The 4 is in L.A.
Yeah, they got Arizona and they got St. Louis, and the reason why that's notable is because those are the teams that are ahead of them in the standings. So I think you have, I want to say, 10 games between those two teams. Win 8 of them. Win 8 of them and see what you can
do.
Why
are you doing this?
I'm just, because there's nothing else to do. I'm trying to watch them. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs postseason at all. I honestly don't think they're going to come close. But they still got some things to play for. They still got outside of that Dodger series and the Cubs starting tonight, too. Mm-hmm. The Cubs are a good team. Outside of those 3 series, the rest of their series, we got the Orioles, like I said, the Rockies 6 times. You got the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals, who are teams that are about like you. I don't know. Why not?
You want to believe so bad.
I want, what is this? This is August 26th. If they could get to, that's pretty close. I was going to say September 1st. Let's go the next week. Let's go September 7th.
Okay.
If they could be 4 back by September 7th, they've got my attention.
4 back by September 7th.
4 back of the
They've
last
got
card spot.
Chicago, Baltimore, Colorado. So all these series will be done. Chicago and Baltimore, at Colorado, at St. Louis. All of those series will be done, and you want them 4 back, which if I caught what you said at the beginning, that's gaining 3 games on where they're at right now.
Right. Right, and maybe jumping ahead of St. Louis because they're a game and a half behind St. Louis right now.
But doesn't it all boil down? Wouldn't so if I was Giants, we all know that I'm not. But if I was, I'd stretch that out to September 10th and throw in the Arizona series.
Sure.
Because only because 7 of your next 10 games are against the Dodgers.
See, the reason why I stopped it right there, though, is now at the date of September 7th, I know it's only a couple days, but them games are starting to dwindle down. And if you're four back on the 10th,
well, that was the other part.
I don't know if you have enough time.
Well, that was the other part. I don't know if four back is enough heading into 7 of 10 being against the Dodgers.
Fair, that's fair too. That's fair. And here's why.
That's why I threw in the Arizona series, thinking, can you get two? Can you make up two more? And then you're in a conversation where maybe you're two back headed into those 7 of 10 with the other three games being against Arizona again.
Well, here's the killer though, and this is why I don't think they have a chance. I'm talking about Arizona and St. Louis. I think you can pass them up in the standings. I don't think you're going to win enough, and the Mets and the Reds are going to lose enough for you to pass either one of those two teams. I think those teams, especially the Mets, who lead that final wild card spot right now, they're just better than the Giants.
I think they only play 6 more teams. Chicago, Baltimore, Colorado, St. Louis, Arizona, and L.A.
Yes, that time of year. But
again,
you're not catching
it. Simultaneously feels like there's a million games left and the season's almost over.
You're not catching the Mets. I don't think they're catching the Reds, but you're not catching the Mets. That ain't happening. Mets won last night, beat Philadelphia. I'm tapped into that series. See if they can, you know, put a dent in there. I think they're like 5 or 6 games back in the NL West behind the Phillies.
Mets on the verge of an all-time collapse, low-key.
Yeah, weren't they up like 7 games early? They were up pretty significant amount.
How many all-time collapses have the Mets have?
It's the Mets, all so yeah, just get the book out.
Got like 3 of them off the top of my head. Man.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to, like I said, they got a win against Philly last night, you know, trying to dig into that. Scooter says they're back 6 games now. Coming out of that series down, I don't know, 4 games. But they won't. They're not getting a division. But the Giants aren't getting. They're not catching the Mets. Like I said, I don't even think they're catching the Reds.
7 games seems insane to do over the last month of the regular season.
You'd have to be unbelievably hot.
And they've had good stretches this year. Unless I'm missing, they haven't been unbelievably hot this year.
No, just
they've had good stretches.
Yeah, just good,
but never. Ooh.
They're killer.
Never Las Vegas Aces hot.
No. Their killer is and always has been all year. I was saying it when it happened. When they couldn't take advantage of that stretch when they played, I think the Marlins, the A's, the White Sox, there might have been one other team I'm forgetting. And they played like 10 games and it went like 3-10 in those games. Or maybe 13 games. They went like 3-13. It's like this is not getting it done. And then that followed it up about a month later when they lost back-to-back home series against the Mets and the Pirates. Mm. And once that happened, I was like, these guys, they can't get it. No, it's done. Nationals. That's who they played as well, John Paul. Yeah, they lost the series to the Nationals. So this team's fate has already been sealed. Mm. Non-postseason.
Maybe if they never made that trade, who knows?
It's not his fault.
Oh, yeah, no. That trade is just a complete loss for both, I guess.
Did you guys see? Now, I know a lot of people are upset with this. But did you see the schedule came out for baseball today?
Yeah.
The
A's. Yep. Schedule is out.
Yep.
They're playing 6 games in Las Vegas. Sucks to be Las Vegas because the Brewers and the Rockies. Yikes. But, and I know that's whatever. People feel how you feel about that. I'm not going to argue with nobody about that. Mm-hmm. But did you see the other note with that where potential postseason games will be played at Sutter Health Park?
Mm-hmm. Saw that. Yep. Shout out Sean Cunningham. That's where I saw it.
Wow. Okay.
That's what it should be, though.
Well, I think Major League Baseball was comfortable enough going, this team's not making the playoffs. It's fine.
Next year, they're going to be good.
Okay.
Next year, the A's going to be good.
John Fisher mess around and spend money on another pitcher. They might.
And get Severino out of there. That's what they need to do. The next year, I think the A's will contend for a playoff spot next year. Will they actually get it done? We'll see. But I think, what are they right now? They're 12 games out of the division. Let me see where they're at in the wild card.
Just don't lose 20 of 21 or whatever it was like you did this season.
That's it. They're 10 and a half games out of a playoff spot right now. I think next year they'll be where the Royals are right now. The Royals are 67-65. At this spot next year, I'd see the A's being somewhere around there and contending for a playoff spot, having a chance. At offense, that lineup is going to be crazy next year. Crazy.
Hmm. So why did they... Okay, so this team's not as good. I understand that. But we went over this last week, how damn near horrifying that home record is. Is there a certain element to, you've got to, guys like it or not, you've got to buy into this Sacramento thing a little bit. Stop bitching and complaining about this and that. And if you're going to do it, don't do it publicly. Complain privately and we could try to get it fixed. Mm-hmm. Because to me, it's just jarring that they're that bad at home. And I see, oh, hitting and pitching, they're going to be so good. Like, everybody is destroying the ball at Sutter Health Park, except for them. And to me, that's not I don't even know that that's a talent thing.
I really think they got, Jesse talked about it, we talked about it, they got beat up by that one stretch where they, number one, played a lot of good teams. They were here in Sacramento when they got beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a young team that was, they couldn't get out of the quicksand. And that doomed their season. I think Kyle has said a couple of different times, if they just went, if I get it, but if they just went 500 in that stretch instead of losing, what did you say, Jesse, 20 or 22 or something?
I don't know. It was something extreme.
It was
like that,
something
though.
Like yeah. that. It was bad, bad.
Something crazy. If they just went 500, it's not even winning. I think you might even say like two games under 500. They'd be something like a game or two over 500 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just so drastically.
2-9 game losing streaks. They just had one.
That was right. It was 20-21.
That's crazy. Oh, man. They had 2-9 game losing streaks just in one swoop. It's all at one time.
That's crazy.
So I think that just,
is awful.
That did something with the home record as well.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it threw them completely off.
Yeah.
And if they can avoid that next year, which I think they will, I think they're going to be a good team next year. I think they're going to be pretty good next year. And I said, this is all the topic because, you know, postseason baseball at Sutter Health Park is a real possibility. I'm not here to also get into like attendance gate and all this other stuff and who's there and all this other stuff. I didn't even watch the game last night, but I saw the highlight of the grandstand by
Shane Langlers.
I saw the grand slam. I mean, I don't know. Just optics wise, sound wise, there were people celebrating. I'm not
that's
even.
That's not a. That's not a. That's not a battle. Sacramento or whoever is going to be able to win here because it's always going to be 8,000 people, 9,000 people, and it's always going to look a little funky. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the people who say, yeah, it's bad or whatever, it's like that's just a battle. I don't think you can win because they just won't let you.
Yeah. I mean, but at
some point, it for us, them, for, it's a battle not worth fighting.
Yeah.
Just
well, because at one point it was like, oh, the A's are... I know the numbers have gone down a little bit more, but at the time it's like, oh yeah, the A's are only putting in 10,000 people or whatever per game on average. Yeah, they play in a 13,000
right,
stadium.
Right, right,
like, dude,
right.
What's the percentage on that compared to the rest of the league?
And that's it.
And when you talk about 13,000, 14,000, isn't
it? Yeah, 13, like, 14, whatever it is.
Isn't like 3,000 on the lawn?
About, yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean? The actual seats, the percentage of that is what the percentage is, you know?
And again, numbers have gone down now, but point being, it's like that's like Dame said, it's not a conversation you can win because like right. 10,000 out of 13,000, 14,000 is not bad.
Yeah, but I just noticed that. I noticed that with one of Kurt's home runs a couple months back where it was, they hit the home run and, you know, you get the camera angles, the stands, people are cheering in the stands. You hear the pop of the crowd when that happens, so...
Yeah, the idea that it's just a graveyard is like silly. Like that, if you want to make arguments about Well, Trista's here. So
on that real quick, so I'd love to know how many people feel that way coming from a game rather than watching it on TV. Because I've been there a handful of times this season. It's not a graveyard.
No, right.
Like, I wonder how many of those takes, like, yeah, it's so bad. Like, I wonder how many people have actually been there.
And we talked about it last week. The Twitter group, that's what you hear. I think a lot of the people that go to the games aren't tweeting.
Well, that's and we talk about that with the Kings all of the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, this player's going to get booed. No, they're not, man. They're not. Like, you can boo on Twitter. The people who are, you know, paying whatever they're paying to go to the Golden, they're not. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you can be mad. You can get your angry tweets off. But that's just not reality.
Right.
And a lot of those angry fans are in Oakland. And again, I understand, but stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. Let's bring, I don't know, Trista's drinking protein shakes. She's dressed like a businesswoman.
I'm about to say sophisticated Trista.
What is happening right now?
I see you.
Well, I got the normal. It's normal.
Oh, okay. It is normal.
It's the specs.
Are you in Connecticut?
I am.
Okay.
I'm in my hotel picking up some, you know, trying to be like D-Lo.
Green juice, green juice and protein shakes. That was her diet for about 4 days. Are we allowed to talk about why you're in Connecticut? She's working for the worldwide leader now.
Oh.
So she, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll let her.
She's buying the sun.
What's up, y'all? I'm at NBC. I am hosting. Let me know. I'm just gonna get the lights right. The lights needs to be set up right there. Oh, there we go. There we go.
I heard the light needs to be behind you.
Huh? What did you say?
I said I heard the light needs to be behind the camera. That's what I was taught. Not too
is
long.
That one?
You look fine. I'm just is saying. No, you're fine. I just something I learned.
Got it. I don't know anything about that, but I went to this fancy studio when I was in Sacramento. Lots of lights.
Okay, settle down. Settle
casa
down.
De Dilo. Casa de Dilo.
Nope, someone. Oh, dear. Okay, we're back.
Yep.
All right.
Got a call.
Yep.
I'm going to be co-hosting Matthew Berry's Fantasy Football Happy Hour show.
That's right, yeah.
And that's for Thursday. And then I didn't know this until just today, but I'm also going to be hosting Friday show on Thursday. So we're
nice.
Going to be
okay
back to back. So that's that. And we've got this talent summit going on. Met with a bunch of executives at the Peacock sort of situation. It's very overwhelming in there. Have you ever been in there, D-Lo?
I have not.
It is a lot. For little old me?
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, they've got rooms. They're all rooms from like historic Olympic venues. It's like Vancouver. We're in the Vancouver room. We're in the Sochi room. We're in the Rio room. I'm like, dog, I don't know where anything is. I'm at the tech bar. I'm trying to figure out. I didn't eat until 1 p.m. because I couldn't find anything. Couldn't, you know, just in the flow of the motion. But it's a huge, huge campus.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't know they were in Connecticut.
Yeah, they're based out in Stanford.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're in Stanford.
Gotcha.
Right by, you can head over to WWE headquarters when you're done and see what's
And I don't know if you saw my Instagram from last night. I tried to put together a 4-part linked reels because our people on Meta said that you could do that, which I haven't found to be the case. But I actually had my first internship a half a mile from where my hotel is right now at UBS.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's pretty dope. For those that don't know, Stanford is like right on the border of New York City. So that's why I think it's the richest zip code or one of, it might not be the richest, but it's one of the richest zip codes. And you have Stanford, Greenwich, I think is a little further in and it's all because it's right on the edge of New York.
What about Bridgeport?
Nope. No, you can find an affordable place in Bridgeport. If Trista was staying in Bridgeport, we'd send help. Let's get TK out of Bridgeport.
Shut up, Bridgeport, baby.
Do you want to chime in on this? We were talking about this a few minutes ago. It feels like the W might be headed for a lockout.
Oh, I know that. I knew that.
And it seems to start, it's starting to sound like we're approaching foregone conclusion status. that the league is going to lock out, and I'm curious what your opinion on that is, because we certainly have ours.
Well, I think it's going to be much ado about nothing, really. That's what my idea is. I think that they'll be locked out until the women's tournament, and then they'll figure it out.
The so NCAA I think we'll get a tournament, lot of, March.
Yeah, I think it'll be March Madness. We're going to be locked out until then. Until like a month before the season begins, and then they'll rush to get a deal done, and then they'll figure it out. I think, though, we will go through all of Unrivaled with no deal. So that would be very interesting in terms of storylines around Unrivaled and whether players are thinking about free agency still and recruiting to other teams, because a lot of these players have lined their analysis of what they were going to do up, and their free agency is up right now when the CBA is up. So they didn't want to sign anything until the new money came in. So even if they took what they were offered, which would be, you know, average salaries being $250,000 instead of $66,000, which was turned down, regardless, that changes everything in terms of if your contract is, you're still on the last leg of your deal, it's pretty bad economics there. So that's what I think is going to happen. I just don't think that the league is prepared to offer what players think that they're worth. And I think there's it's really complicated economics, but also not so complicated. It's complicated because NBA owners are still trying to put their fingers into the pie and take pieces of revenue because they own part of the team. And we've talked about this a million times over, but listen, if you want to get your money back, it's time to sell your team to someone else and get out. That's where the money comes. When you own stocks, yes, you get dividends, but the value really comes when you sell that stock.
So one of the things, first of all, it was good to hear you in your prediction that they won't technically miss any games. Like that's, I think that's the thing that me and Damian have talked about that is the scariest for the WNBA is potentially losing games, losing a season or something like that. I had asked the question earlier, because this new CBA is so important, not only for the current players, but the young ladies who are in high school right now, the young ladies who are juniors in high school, it's going to lay the groundwork for what they're able to do when they get into the league. What do you think is most important, that they fight for that type of deal that lays the groundwork for the people that are coming behind them, or that you bend a little bit to make sure you don't lose a season? Because I think the momentum that you would lose by losing games and losing a potential season may be greater than you might be cutting off your nose to spite your face with trying to get this money. You might lose it all by having a lockout.
I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think that's what the WNBA wants players to believe, which is, hey, listen, if you guys don't get a deal done, this could cripple the league. And maybe it could, but you know who would be crippled by that? Golden State, who just bought an expansion team, and Portland, and Toronto.
Yeah,
and
these but I don't teams know that they would, though. Like, Lakeup's not going to be, like, Lakeup is going to eat. He's going to be just fine.
I think all the billionaires are going to be fine.
But that's what I mean. These young ladies aren't billionaires, and some of them, you know, some of them barely make living wages.
True. I think, though, there's just as much motivation for a brand new expansion team to not lose the momentum of how good the inaugural year was and how much revenue came in to chase. They're already in the green by, I want to say the number that I saw was $50 million already. The valuation of the team went from the $50 million expansion fee. I'm going to take Ollie for a walk, so you guys got to come with me.
Yeah, this will be an adventure.
No, let's go.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Take us around Stanford, Connecticut.
We got a hotel key. We got the hotel key. If you want to go to
Can we go see Dunder Mifflin while we're there? Stanford branch? Hey,
that was a crazy callback. I heard that, Trista. That's a crazy callback. That she went, she went there. But I'm like you. I'm not doing the time. I'm free. Sing these songs. I'm singing these songs. I'm free. I didn't do nothing.
Exactly. Listen, I wasn't a part of all that tomfoolery, okay? Listen, it's a catchy song, all right?
Go ahead, sorry.
Trista brought up a good point. There are people who invested in this league, bought into this league under the premise that, yeah, the league is moving, games are being played. Mm-hmm. So that's where maybe the TV networks or some of the new owners lean on the WNBA offices and say, yeah, I know you're fighting for this and that, but I got involved with you because you told me I was going to be able to do all it. Where are the games at? Where, like, no, nah, fix this. That may be the case too, where they might feel a little pressure from the people that are just getting into this league right now.
I love that we thought Trista was going to be able to get in an elevator and like nothing would go wrong. Like, this is such a unique.
I think somebody's in there too.
This is such a fascinating radio show that we run.
Somebody else was in there. I don't know what conversation they were having. They weren't talking to Trista, though.
I was like, don't y'all see what's going on right here? No, you guys don't care. Thank you very much. I'll just get out.
Was the guy talking to you?
So that a poodle can get in? They were having their own damn conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
It was like a hey.
As soon as she grabbed the leash, I'm just like, this is gonna go so bad.
How you doing? What's the?
No, and I don't think Trista has any clue.
Hitting every damn floor.
Trista has no clue. like RP says,
I don't have a clue. What
no,
else?
No, Trista's flatlined. Like she just has no. No clue. This is a James Ham segment.
Back.
Okay, now I think we got you back. now we're on the mean streets of Stamford, Connecticut. The frustrating part with all of that, Trista, is I completely forgot what point Kenny made as you were on the elevator. Is I think the league itself has validity in their claims that this could be really bad if we shut down.
Sure, and that's why they need to stop playing around. Okay, that's why they need to stop playing around. Because we got, if I'm a star, and this is mostly for the 36 to how many ever else that they're adding to the Unrivaled League, another 16 or whatever it is. Yo, I can get my 250 for 2 months. I'm not worried about this. I can go overseas. Listen, here's the deal. The ratings are up. The merch is up. The vibe and the interest in the league has never been higher. Attendance is up. Franchise valuations are up. Expansion teams are coming in. So why are you guys lowballing us? Okay, I was watching this new show, which is really an old movie that they made into a new show, called Rainmaker. And it's about this kid who died in the hotel. I mean, not the hospital. And they said he died of an overdose. But then they offered the mom like $250,000 just because they were being nice. And the lawyers are like, listen, they don't offer $250,000 to be nice. They know they did something wrong. Okay? You're not going to come to the table as the WNBA with an average salary of $250,000 if that's the fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
The average value is probably 2 to 3 times X that more, maybe more. I don't know. We don't know the economics because they won't share the numbers.
That's the other part right there is we don't know what the dollar figure is. Like at some point, someone's got to open their books to figure this out. We're having a historic moment on the show as I believe Trista is about to pick up dog poop while doing the hit. So this is, again, another marker. Happy 5-year anniversary, everybody. We've hit the stage where we pick up dog poop during the
during responsible the CBA dog ownership conversation. Responsible dog ownership knows no bounds.
That's facts.
That's correct.
That's facts. But at some point, someone's got to open the books so we know what the league is actually worth.
Yeah, I need to know how much all of the basketball-related revenue is. I need to know what is the expenses of this business team by team, because if I'm a player, the talent, it's not my problem if you're spending money in a way that's not responsible. You guys need to sort that out yourself. And what I've heard, and I bet Damian knows a lot more than this about this than me, from what I've heard from people within like WNBA league circles, the way that they're really handling their finances is a little like loosey-goosey in terms of how they've scheduled flights. And now you've like done it way too far in advance, and now things are changing, and now you're losing all this money on changing the flights because you never did it right to begin with. Now you gotta, I heard when they all got charters, there was all these flights already booked because they didn't know they were going charter.
Yep.
And then they lost all the money from the flights that they booked for the entire season, and all the hotels changed. It's like, listen, I hoop. That's what I do. You clearly aren't doing your thing in a way that makes a lot of sense from a financial standpoint. But what we know is that the revenue is coming in. And so you guys sort out, first and foremost, paying us. And then secondly, how you manage your expenses. And then you take the rest.
You know who the W is run like? Because everything Trista said is 100% accurate. It's run like Odyssey. Like, yes. Hey, Jesse's job is to produce D'Lo and KC. But also, he's going to cut social media clips. And he's going to be the social media coordinator for ESPN 1320. He's also going to come up with ideas to sell. He's also going to lay out all of this different stuff. That's how the W is run. They have someone who, this is here's their job. Their job might be to, I don't know, help with the housing accommodations. But also, I'm going to need you to book the flights. And they literally, I'm telling you, they go to Orbit. They go to Expedia.
Crazy.
And they try to figure out how to book these flights at the cheapest rate possible. And that's how they do it. It's not striking deals with Delta. It's not striking deals with United. And you know, this is the honest to God truth. You know how most of it is determined? What airline the coach has the most miles on.
That's
because
insane.
No matter what flight they get on, he wants to make sure, or she wants to make sure, that they have the, what's it called? The status.
That's crazy.
That's a shoot. That's an absolute shoot.
And then, as we know, for those who book, who don't book first class like D'Lo and Casey do.
Don't put me in.
But when you book just the cheapest coach you can get, what happens when you want to change your flight? They say,
can't.
I'm sorry? You can't. You
Mm-mm.
can't. You, no credits
back. Not
for
free. Yep.
Not even at all. Like, if you go on Alaska or Southwest is different. But if you go on most of the places, the like lowest budget tiered flight, it's like, well, if you miss your flight or need to change your flight, you just have to book a new flight. Mm-hmm. And that ends up costing you a lot of money if you need flexibility. And so it's kind of penny wise, pound foolish. And if I'm a player, I'm like, what does this have to do with me?
And remember, you have to change the flight for 24 people.
Right.
Yes. That means you're literally just eating all of that.
Yep.
The players are doing their job. They're asking everybody else to do their job.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, man. I'm just picturing the whole team at the gate while the coach is in the lounge. The coach got enough.
In the Delta lounge.
Coach is in the lounge.
I've seen it. It's even better.
Cheryl Reeve in the Delta lounge.
When the girl who scored 35 that night walks past coach and the assistant who are sitting in first class to get back to their seat that's by the toilet. Imagine Asia Wilson can't get an exit row after scoring 40.
Crazy. That is crazy.
They got her in the middle seat.
Got Lisa Leslie in the middle seat trying to get to Sacramento and Arco Arena.
What, TK, I want to get your thought, but one of the things I did say when you were in the elevator with the random conversation is, do you think that these networks and these, you know, new owners who invested in this league because it was on the upswing might start putting pressure on the WNBA front office to say, hey, we got involved in this knowing that we were supposed to have basketball. Like, you better fix this and make sure we have basketball.
Yes. Yes. Because what? These new billionaires, what do they say? I wasn't a part of whatever nonsense you guys were a part of. Mm-hmm. I'm coming in to a profitable league. I'm coming into a profitable league. I haven't invested anything outside of this expansion fee. So, what you guys paid and your quote unquote subsidies that you've had to the league, which we, again, don't even know if this is true, how much the quote unquote subsidy was to prop the W up. Okay, I don't care. I'm Joe Lacob. I'm the Batals. I'm the folks that own the Toronto Tempo. I'm the folks in Philly. Like, listen, we got to get games happening. Because that's what I signed up for. That's what I paid 50 M's and 250 M's into your pocket. And you know, the all of the owners ended up splitting those expansion fees. So, listen, I can't have 1 year of basketball and then it just ends. Right. I'm going to need some clauses to get my bread back if it's going to be like this. So, yeah, if you're a billionaire, especially an NBA owner that is now owning a WNBA team like Joe Lacob, I'm going to be like, just pay him. Just pay them what they're worth. And he probably, I don't know what where his mindset is on this, but he's used to paying the players 50%. That's what we pay. Mm-hmm. Basketball-related mm-hmm. revenue, mm-hmm. Yep. Get 50-50. So, like, can we just pay these girls? And I think as the more we get the real billionaires and not the cheapskates, they, like Joe Tsai, he wanted to give them charters. Remember, he got fined for that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, him... And the owner of the Aces were like, yo, we'll cover everybody. We don't care that it is going to be expensive. Let's get we'll pay for the entire W to fly charter. And they're like, no, I can't do that. That's in direct violation of the blah, 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 blah. Same poodle from the elevator. Same poodle. And
so hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I don't normally do this. We desperately have to go.
Okay.
I love you so much. Thanks for jumping on. Good luck on the elevator the way back.
Thank you.
Trista Crick making moves out there. Stanford, Connecticut. We'll come back. Jason Jones going to join us here in a heartbeat. Steelin' with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.